Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Ezra, the book of Ezra. We're in a current series of Lord Teach Us to Pray, of lessons about prayer, and not just how to pray, and this is how you fold your hands, and this is how you stand, but it's more the principles of prayer so we have a desire to pray, so we can see the principles of prayer, that it could teach us about how important prayer is. And as we've gone through here, we've already hit some of these important lessons that we could see that it all begins with God, and that we explain that principle, that God is the purpose. He is the goal of prayer. We've seen the idea of ways in the Bible that prevents us from seeing our prayers answered. And as we continue on, we now find another principle found in the book of Ezra, the book of Ezra, chapter number 8. Now, for those of you who are familiar with the book of Ezra, that in the first several chapters, you had Nehemiah, who led a return from Babylon back to the promised land, and there God used them to rebuild the temple. And now in Ezra chapter 7 and Ezra chapter 8, we find Ezra is leading a second return back into the land. And we can see at the beginning of Ezra chapter 8, it gives a listing of all the people that have gathered together, the names of all the people who are going with Ezra back to the promised land. As they gather up their troops, gather up the supplies, gather up everything they need, they go and they make a stop. And at this stop, they're going to pray. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in Ezra chapter 8 and verse number 21. Ezra chapter 8 and verse number 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and a horseman to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon us for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. And as we come here, we see this idea that in verse number 23, if you're in the habit of marking things, and he was entreated of us. He was entreated of us. And with this, we find another principle of prayer, that God is always enough. God is always enough. Now, this is an important principle that we must realize, that God is always enough. When we come to God with empty hands and hearts fully yielded to him, that's when God is able to do his greatest work, when we're able to fully trust him and him alone. Stepping out by faith gives God an opportunity to show that he is enough. Ezra shows how Zerubbabel had built the first, the temple, rebuilt the temple in the early parts of Ezra, and that God was with him. And now with this second one, we can see Ezra is coming to prepare. He continues the narrative by explaining how that God had helped him to return to Jerusalem with another remnant. And the closing part of the seventh chapter, God had gathered the chief men to go do his work. Then the name of God gives the listing of all those men in chapter number 8 and the early parts of it. And now they've gathered together. Notice with me again in verse 21. And there I proclaimed a fast there. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ava. So they gather up all their people. They go outside of town where they're not going to be bothered. And they spend there 3 days praying, 3 days of getting right with God, 3 days of trying to make sure that they're able to see God's face. Notice again, verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ava that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for our sustenance. Now, there's a lot in there. He says that we took 3 days to fast and to pray, and we're asking God to lead us on a plain path, Amen. That he would show us the way to go. Now, you say, why is this important? Well, there's 700 miles between where Ezra is currently at and Jerusalem. In that 700 miles, there's brigands, there's bandits, there's enemies who hate the Jewish people. There's all kinds of things that are in the way. And Ezra is not only just traveling with his men, but they've got heaps full of gold and supplies. Do you think there's a lot of brigands who would like that gold and supplies? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. In addition, they had something even more precious. They had little ones. They had children there. And they wanted to make sure that their children were taken care of. So before they did anything, they said, let's take a couple days to make sure we're as thoroughly right with God as possible for the purpose that we would seek after him. Amen. So he can show us which way to go. I want him to be able to give us a clear roadmap, because God knows where the bad guys are at. God knows where the enemies are at. He knows where the obstacles are in the road. He is a better GPS than Google.
Amen.
Tell me which way to go. Guide us and direct us on a plain path. We need to hear your voice clearly. We don't need to come make this decision ourselves, because we may not know things that are going on. You do.
Yeah.
Tell us the right way. We need you to take care of us and for our little ones. Parents, by the way, you need to be dependent upon God for your little ones. Because what you do affects them. Your mistakes affect them. Your disobedience affects them. And so we understand that we have to get to the place where we say, God, you're enough. I need you. Then it goes back and says, why is this all important? He says, well, because they don't have any guards. What do you mean they don't have any guards? Yeah, well, Ezra got through talking with the Persian emperor and said, hey, our God's got his good hand upon us. We could watch our God work.
Amen.
He says, okay, well, let me know if you need anything. And he goes, oops, after that big speech, I can't ask for any guards. So now we're going to be traveling with our precious young ones, with our treasures, with everything, and we have no guards. We are in trouble. Yeah. Left our own devices, we're going to get robbed. Yeah. Left our own devices, they're going to just take everything we have from us. We have to have God. I just got through telling them we could trust God. Now we better be trusting God. So you understand, this wasn't just a little, all right, God, just guide us on our way. Thank you. This was, Lord, we have to have you on our way. We just talked big about you. We just did this. We need your direction. Because what would people think about our God if we said, we don't need soldiers, our God will take care of us, and then we get robbed? I thought your God could take care of you. Yeah. So they're stopping and realizing we can't depend upon the government. We can't depend on soldiers. We can't depend on, we have to have God, and we have to have God alone to direct us, or we're cooked. And so verse 23, so we fasted and besought our God in this. And notice this, and he was entreated of us. This word entreated is a very important word on prayer. Chris did ask a question a couple weeks ago talking about the different words of prayer. So we have prayer, basic prayer. We have the idea of intercession, going on the behalf of someone. We've got supplication, which carries the idea of we're bringing our request up to him. And so those are good words for prayer and things that we need to be familiar with. The word entreated is also another powerful word of prayer. The idea of entreated here carries the idea that they're throwing their dependence upon God. God, it must be you and no one else. We're entreating of you. We're letting you know we can't take care of. There is no plan B. There's no plan C. There's no plan nothing. If you don't take care of us, we cannot be taken care of. We're throwing our dependence upon him. Now, how can you throw your dependence on him like that? Because God is enough. God is enough. We can depend upon him. We can trust him. We can depend upon him. By the way, it comes to this idea of fasting and dying to self and getting rid of all of our options. Because all of us have enough in us that we have plan B, plan C, plan three, whatever. And God waits for us to get to the place where we scrap those other plans. There is no backup plan. Either you do it or we don't do it. Mm-hmm. You do it or we can't survive. You do it or nothing. We have to get to the place of realizing God is enough and have so much faith that God is enough that we don't have any backup plans.
Amen.
There's no other alternative. Now, that's hard. That's a scary position. By the way, Ezra was in a scary position. His life potentially was in danger, but not just his life, the other people and the little ones. No plan B. We're usually not at the place where we can honestly say, God is enough. We are at the place where we say, God, help supply for me, and then we check our bank account.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, I need some answers, and then we go Google. We have backup plans, but we don't throw our full dependence and faith on God. And we have to. For example, for salvation, the only way salvation works is if we put our full dependence upon the Lord. Not Jesus and a backup plan. Not Jesus and then something else. For example, if I was to sit down on a chair, I don't have a chair handy, but I'm not going to chest that out. If I was going to sit down here, in order for me to fully put my faith and trust in it, I can't just do this. You know, kind of lean over it. That doesn't work. I can't just, that's not putting my full dependence on it. I have to sit down and take my weight off of and sit. That's the idea that if the pew falls or the chair falls, there's potential, right?
Yep.
There's potential. That I could live so fearfully that I won't trust the chair.
Amen.
I will depend on my backup plan. Yeah, I'm sitting in the chair, but not really. The idea that God is enough is that I put my full dependence upon him, no backup plan. God is enough. Now again, that sounds good in theory, but in practice, we're not used to practicing that. We come up with our different plans. We're talking about little ones. I know I'll let God help guide me and how to direct my children, and I will do what God says and Dr. Spock and the school psychologist and my local witch doctor, I mean psychologist. Well, then we're not fully depending on God. In that case, what does God say? And I do that, not my own backup plan, not my own way. Well, the idea of finances. Well, I will tithe. I believe in tithing, but I'll wait till my bills are paid, then I'll tithe. Well, that's not faith at all. You give of the first fruits and then expect God to make sure the rest of your finances are settled. You're trusting God. You see, the idea that God is enough should permeate that. And it should be the idea that there's no backup plan. I pay my tithe first, then expect God to have enough to pay the rest of my bills.
Yep.
Putting God first. The idea is that God is enough. And it's a principle that we have to live by. As we kind of walk through the book of Ezra and the Bible, let's kind of hit this principle some more, that God is always enough. Now, we've already talked about before a principle that God is always previous. What does that mean? That means that before you even had a need, God already met that need. He already had it prepared. Maybe you've had the experience where you really needed some finances and you didn't know where it was going to come from. And then you happen to open up your mailbox and there was a check there. God was already previous. He already had that check in the mail before you even realized you needed the need. Already had it supplied. That God is always previous. Because of that, we could realize God is enough. He already knows how he's going to meet my need before I even realize I have a need. He already has a plan for it. He already has an action for it. I can trust him. He is enough. Once we begin walking with God, we find that he alone is sufficient to sustain us. So with that, we hear a couple principles. First of all, when God is enough, he supplies all our need. When God is enough, he supplies all our need. Turn with me, if you don't mind, in the book of Philippians chapter 4. The book of Philippians chapter 4. And notice with me in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Philippians 4, 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need. Now we know that the correct context of that is in the area of missions, carrying the idea that as I give by faith my tithe, and then my offerings, which is above and beyond my tithe. But by faith, I give. By the way, we'll talk about faith promise giving tonight in 2 Corinthians. But I give for the idea of helping the Great Commission get accomplished, helping support missionaries and over there, that as I give, as God directs me, I can expect God to supply the rest of my needs.
Amen.
He's using me to help take care of missionaries. He'll take care of my needs. He'll take care of the other things. I can trust him, and I can trust him so much that I can give to him first and then watch him supply. When God is enough, we're walking with him, we're being obedient to him, he can supply all our needs. He shall supply all of our needs. The idea of the faith life as a Christian carries the idea that we don't have a backup plan. Now, this doesn't mean that we quit our jobs and say, well, we're expecting God to rain from the sky. No, it means that we're being obedient to him and moving forward, and we trust him to take care of all the things that we can't. That we're moving forward with it, that we're watching God work. No matter how much you work and how many things you seek after, you're never going to succeed in life until God is in his rightful place. Pastor Sexton tells a story when he went to Bible college. He went first of all to a Methodist college. And as he was doing the sign-up sheet, they said, well, I understand you're supposed to be a preacher. Yep, I'm a Baptist preacher. Well, go ahead and mark the box that says Methodist. He says, no, I'm a Baptist. He says, no, you don't understand. You just mark this Methodist. They have so much money left over because so many people are not going to Bible college. They're willing to pay your full way if you say that you're Methodist. Well, I'm not. Well, what's wrong with marking it? Because I'm not. And they said, don't you understand? This is free money. But I'm not Methodist. Well, then how are you going to get this paid for? How much money do you have on you? He says, $10, but you're not having it. He says, then how are you going to pay for it? My God shall supply my riches. I want to be obedient to him. I'm following after him. God will supply. And God did. Amen. The idea is that God is enough. We are obedient to what he's given us to do. By the way, that's the proof that we trust him is us, our obedience. If you say, well, I'm just going to stand here and stare, well, you're not being obedient. You can't claim this verse for yourself. I'm being obedient to the things that God's given me to do, and I can expect God to supply. When God is enough, he gets all the glory. Remember in Ezra was ashamed to ask the king of any guards. Well, when they got back to Jerusalem, they were able to celebrate and shout and praise God because it was God that protected them the whole time. It wasn't the guards. It wasn't special forces. It wasn't that God had protected them. God had provided. That God is the one who led them all the way and gave them safety. God got all of the glory. That when we're trusting in God and God alone, by default, he gets all the glory. And we have a God who wants to get all the glory. When God is enough, marriages honor the Lord. That we could trust God in our marriage. We could trust God in our relationship. And then when God allows our relationship to thrive, God gets the glory. It wasn't me trying hard, me making sure that she listens. It's the idea that I was obedient to what God given me to do, and God allowed our relationship to thrive. He gets the glory. It was God that did it. How'd you make your marriage work? It wasn't me. It was the Lord. God's the one that did it. When God is enough, churches will give glory to God. Amen. How'd you guys get all this accomplished? It wasn't us. Amen. It was God. We trusted in him. We were obedient to him. And we're just watching God work. We're trying a big impossible task with the NFL draft stuff. How does that work? Money's not. God is enough. Amen. God is enough. We could trust him and God will get all the glory when it's all said and done. It wasn't, well, let me tell you, if you guys had all these millionaires, of course it's going to work. Not here? Exactly. Well, you have all those laborers. You got hundreds and thousands of people in the church. Well, not here. We're trusting God and God is enough. And God will get all the glory for it because it wasn't us. Amen. We will make a difference in our world when we allow Christ to make a difference in us. When God is able to prove in our own lives that he is enough, we could go with boldness to a world and say, listen, God is enough. God's watched over and over and over and over. He is enough. We watch God work. We also know that when God is enough, he empowers our testimony. When Ezra and the remnant come back, they were able to say, the Lord is with us. And they were able to remind each other, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. We were able to give a testimony. Look at what God had done. God's the one who provided for us. God's the one who protected us. God's the one that led us. The children of Israel were able to say that about the leading through the promised land. When they got to the promised land, God led us here. God did this. Look at all the supernatural things he did to make sure we got here. God was entreated of them. They put their dependence upon him. We're showing God, Lord, it's you and you alone. We can trust you. And with that, he empowers our own Christian testimony. If you could forgive the personal testimony myself, but watching God work. When I was a pastor in a different church, because of circumstances and the way that it was set up, I didn't get paid for 6 years. Nothing. Worked hard, worked about as hard as I do here. Had the privilege of working at a Christian school. And you're like, okay, well, that's where you got money from. Well, I paid for the privilege of my kids going to school because that school was expensive. So I worked pretty much for free to allow my kids to go there. Yeah. 6 years. Where'd you get money from? God did it. We couldn't do it ourselves. We were able to do things. We say, what about your house? Well, we were living in Sunday school rooms in the church building, not... It wasn't a fun experience. You know, it was one of those things that my kids growing up, when they passed a Walmart, they asked if all the employees at Walmart live there too. They're like, I'm a bad parent. But you know, God supplied the whole time. God worked over and over and over. It wasn't me and my personality that, you know, we're going to live off imagination. My kids need more than imagination to eat off of.
Yeah.
God is able to work. Didn't mean I was sitting still, just busy as ever, moving forward, watching God work. You know, some people get paid to be good. Me, I was just good for nothing. But just trusting God, depending upon him, allowing him to work. And he's proven himself over and over and over and over. Now, again, forgive the personal testimony. People are like, well, you must be making out like a bandit now. Oh, yeah, well, if any of you have a full-time job or if any of you have a part-time job that you work more than 20 hours, you make more than me. Yeah. We're like, oh, poor pastor. No, I'm just going to watch God work. God has to supply over and over and over and over and over and over and over. He said, well, we want to keep you there. I hope you don't, but the idea is that we want to watch God work. God can be trusted. And that when he does that, we're able to look at what God did. He's done the impossible over and over and over, and he's supplied, and he's worked. And look, during that time, watch what God did with me. Watch it go forward. See all the people that got saved. See all the people that were affected. It was God that did it the whole time. It wasn't me. I can't get any credit for it, and I can't give any credit to any other organization or substance or group or whatever else. God got it. God supplied my need, and he proved it over and over and over and over. God is able to work. He empowers our testimony when we're able to trust him and say, let me tell you how God worked in my life. It was God that got the glory. God got the thing. I stood by faith, didn't know how it was going to work out, didn't know how it was going to supply, but I put my dependence, I entreated him. I threw my dependence on him, said, it's either you or I die, you or we don't make it, you or it doesn't work. And God proves himself over and over and over and over. And then when God is enough, he gives us courage. When God is enough, he gives us courage. The Bible talks about that when we accept Christ as our new Savior, we become a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we went over that not too long ago. But one of the things that we still lack is courage. It's a scary world out there. And Joshua, when Joshua takes over for Moses, Moses has been the leader for 40 years. Joshua is no Moses. And he's a little bit afraid about what the people are going to do. I mean, they kept talking about stoning Moses. And that was Moses. He's no Moses. Now he's got to lead 2.5 million complaining people into a promised land where they're going to have to trust God for victories. Mm-hmm. And that was a scary position. God came up to Joshua and said, be strong and be of good courage. He says, I'll be with you. Then the people came up to Joshua and said, Joshua, be strong of good courage. God's with you. That was what he needed. When we realize God is enough and that he's able to supply, we have the courage to go forward. Why do some people not move forward in their Christian life? They're scared. Fear holds them back. What happens if I try to raise my kids the way the Bible says? I'm afraid of what people are going to say. I'm afraid of how, what if it doesn't work? Well, when you do things God's way, it works. When we try to lead a church the way that God says so, people are going to get scared. Well, that doesn't sound like fun. It doesn't sound there. It sounds too scary. I don't know. Can't we come up with a different idea? No, we step out by faith and watch God work. And that knowing that God is with us and we trust him and him alone, he gives us the courage to step forward because our God doesn't fail. Amen. When we come to the idea of health issues, again, we often come plan B, plan C, plan B, but we could trust God and say, God, I can trust you. You just tell me what to do and I'll be obedient to it, but I can trust you. And God can give us courage in the times where fear can hold us back, even in health issues. I'm afraid to go forward because I'm afraid I'm going to fall apart. I'm afraid to go forward because I don't want to make things worse. I'm afraid to go forward because I don't know if I'm going to hold out. Well, if God gave it you to do, God's going to be with you. And God will give you the courage and strength to go on. That we need courage. Sometimes it's even basic courage just to witness to someone. I'm afraid of what they're going to say about me. I'm afraid of what they're going to reject me. Well, if you know God is with you, God will give you the courage to go talk to someone, even if you're afraid to. He could bypass that fear. That when God is enough, he can give us that courage that we need to continue to move forward. For us, the principle that we have to learn is that he is enough. And we have to learn to get rid of the backup plans. Well, I want to try this Christian life, so I'll read my Bible sometimes and stuff, but I'll also have a backup plan in case it doesn't work out. Well, then you're not trusting in God. You're leaning on the chair, not sitting on the chair. well, I'm going to trust God with my kids, but I also kind of want to get everyone else's opinion and input on this. No, just do what the Bible said. Otherwise, you're not trusting. You see, God makes things simple. We make things complicated. We can trust him. The idea of faith is not the absence of fear. It's the idea that I could trust God no matter what. I could depend upon him. He's not going to fail me. He's going to take care of it. I'm just obedient to what he has given us to do. The idea that we're being obedient is the evidence that we're trusting in him. Can we move forward? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, thank you for the principle here as we pray that we understand this type of prayer is entreating of you, putting our full dependence upon you. And it's something we all know we need to work on more. Putting our dependence upon you. Stop having backup plans. Stop trying to think about what happens if it doesn't work. What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? It's simply saying, Lord, we trust you. I'm trying to be as thoroughly right with you as possible, being obedient to your clear commands. You lead, I'll follow, and watching you work over and over and over. I'm asking that you would help strengthen someone's faith life, that you would strengthen someone's prayer life by putting their full dependence upon you, knowing that you are sufficient, that you are enough. Lord, thank you for this day and continue to give us grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.